You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I've never met kids about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second down. Thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good rest of this weekend and a great weekend. Juneteenth Day, Father's Day, and everything else. Starting the summer and all of that madness. And so I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must be done, you will get it done. That's right. And you will do it safely. Continue to do it safely, brothers and sisters. Continue to do that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts, and then you click on that, and then drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that is Eastern Time, and all the times are going to give are Eastern Times. On Mondays, from 6 p.m. to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, and that's followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturday, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturday, from 7 p.m. to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, go to the website WeBuyBlack.com. Look at all the products that they have. Try your best to spend some money with us. Try your best that to get products in your house that are produced by us. Also, too, brothers, if you can, and sisters, of course, if you can, donate some money to the fund to have a supermarket. Never mind. Because every time I do this, man, you know, I'll be thinking like, damn, you know, this should have been done happen. This should, when the call made was when the call went out, it should have happened. But because we
don't trust one another. We don't believe in one another. And I'm going to talk about all that later. Okay. Man, WeBuyBlack.com. African for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. I'm going to get him on the program when I come back from being out of town. And so he could talk about the upcoming trips. And if he has anything prior to November 18th through the 29th to Tanzania. November 18th through the 29th. And then Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2022. And then April 1st to April 11th, 2022, to Senegal and Gambia. Trips are $3,700, which is very reasonable. Put $400 down and pay on it as you can, pay on it as you can, and you will have a trip of a lifetime and everything that you need to know, information, documentation, and all of that will be on the website. It's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. Africa for the Africans. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, I'm trying to get the information for his brother-to-brother talk with him and Tony Browder. It's, I don't see it on his Facebook page. I know he has a webinar coming up, Star African, the African Star over Europe, talking about the African influence in Europe. That is Friday, June 25th. That's next Friday, and that's at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the next day, Saturday, June 26th, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's a webinar. I'm not sure. Look, oh, the cost is $25 for both sessions. $25 for both sessions. There's Zoom lecture series. And, of course, he has two trips upcoming. I see one has been taken off. The Ghana trip has been taken off. I'm not sure. Maybe they're not going to do that trip. But the Kemetic trip is still happening. That's July 31st to August 13th. July 31st to August 13th, a trip to Kemet with Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha, the programs that they had, they're doing the work, brothers and sisters. They're doing the work. Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs and the Golden Growers, and of course the Kashi Project in Ghana. I mean, if you go to the website, you'll see the beautiful pictures of the things that are happening. Also, too, there's information about a repatriation program, the steps you can go through to repatriate to Ghana. Everything that you need is right there. All right. The Ledge Program, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Ledge, the Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Go to TheLedgeGroup.com, brothers and sisters. Become a member also to get information about the raffle. Okay? I'm going to give you some details the next time I come back. Hopefully that information will be available. But the raffle that they're having for a safari in Tanzania. Oh, man, the raffle's upcoming. The raffle is upcoming. The winner will be announced June 30th. June 30th. Go to theledgegroup.com. Go online. Get your ticket. Get your ticket. It's hosted by the Ledge Group. 5,000 tickets have been sold. So go to theledgegroup.com. And you could be on your way to Ashura, Tanzania, for a safari. I don't see the... glad I took a look at this finally. I mean, I've looked at it before. This is some time ago because I've been announcing it. And I'm not sure. They have a cost of 25, and that is British, because it's in pounds. So I'm not sure what it is in U.S. money. But they said that the raffle is valued at $15,000 and includes everything, you know, 7-day, you know, in Ashura. So the Ledge Group, the winner will be announced. Raffle ends Saturday. The raffle ends this Saturday. The winner will be announced on the 30th, Juneteenth Day. That's the last, which was sooner, the last ticket sold. So this Saturday. Okay. And the Ledge Group. And you know, some beautiful pictures, too. Man, I tell you, theledgegroup.com. If you want to get, you know, get into that raffle, brothers and sisters, opportunities there for you. Bibiatumi, Bibiatumi.com, Bibiatumi.com, brothers and sisters. Go to Bibiatumi, everything that you need on the website is everything is there, all the information. They have the series, the Saturday series. They sell products. They have all kinds of good stuff. I'm focusing on, although there is a series I'm announced that is Saturday, but on Sunday the 20th, Affirming Black Manhood. Affirming Black Manhood. And that is going to be this Sunday. Some of the speakers are Baba Baruti, Baba Mwali Mumbaruti, Robin Walker, Ifeyomi Grant, Brother Ifeyomi Grant, Baba Bantu, and it's hosted by Shakara, hosted by Shakara. I'm not sure how much the tickets are, but we are African men. It has almost become unpopular to talk about what it means to be a man, to deal with the concept of manhood. We've got to deal with it. You can't get around it. And that's Dr. Amos Wilson, not Amos Wilson. A quote from him. Affirming African manhood attempts to contribute to the process of African men taking back the power to define, develop, and project what it means to be an African man. Our facilitators approach African manhood from various perspectives, with an emphasis on performing the values, principles, and ideas that represent the best of who we are and need to become. We will engage a series of workshops on various aspects of African manhood, including space for general discussion. Our special guest facilitators are all African men with a proven track record of sustained work with African men, addressing issues pertaining to African manhood. Baba Baruti, defining principles of African manhood. Robin Walker, the economics of African manhood. Ifeyomi Grant, challenging misogyny, rebuilding African manhood. Another brother, I can't pronounce his name, African manhood, fatherhood, and rites of passage. And Baba Bantu, the power of African brotherhood. The power of African. And that is Sunday, Father's Day. And I'm not sure what the cost is, but brothers and sisters, go to Bibiatumi. The event is a password, and shakaraspeaks.com/. Go to Shakara, shakaraspeaks.com/. Shakaraspeaks.com. I'm gonna try my best to be on that call, and that's gonna be early, because if it's 12 p.m. in the UK, that is 8 a.m. in the States, 8 a.m. Eastern. That's 8 a.m. Eastern. So, defining black manhood. We need that African manhood. We need that, brothers and sisters. We need to know that. So, and then of course the other events that they have a, you know, every Saturday these Saturday series. And I had to restart that whole thing again, didn't I? Okay, here it is. And that is this Saturday, Juneteenth Day, is Can I Have More? An everyday guide to the joys of cooking and eating like an African, vegan food and so forth. So that's this Saturday and on Bibi Atumi. And then next Saturday, African combat forms hidden in plain sight. That's interesting. So, all right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here with delicious fruit drinks, smoothies, and health drinks for you, and all kinds of good stuff for you. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And on Fridays and Saturdays, Saturdays and Sundays, excuse me, they have catered vegan food that you can buy, a smorgasbord that you can buy and check it out. Okay, that's Wadada's, located right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, when the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Friday and Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263, and she has books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff at her place in the Greenbrier Mall. She's on the main thoroughfare now of Greenbrier Mall, a bigger store, and she deserves to be supported. I was in Black Dot yesterday. My good brother, Gazim Deyajamu, at the Black Dot. Give my brother a call. Love what he's doing with the Black Dot. 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. The Black Dot. There's light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, not just cooperative economics, family-centered economics. And that's 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Name of the program is Dare to Win. If you want to call in and just to listen, you can do that. Or you can call in and give your questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister, Shelly Amonset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. If you got a beard, unfortunately, I don't have one. I would love to have had one. I can't grow one. You know, she got the grooming stuff with the beard and T-shirts, all kinds of stuff at Sun Goddess Sense. Incense, of course, oils, you know. So check her out. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, my sister Gabby Aurelia, she's looking for support for the children of Haiti in the northeastern portion of the island. We all know what happened to Haiti 10 years ago or so, and it's still devastating. She deserves support. You go to the website, you'll see what she is doing, and you'll understand why she deserves support. They have education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, of course, you know, they're doing their thing. I don't have the, I know he has a July 3rd workshop coming up on reparations. I got to get that information for you. Hopefully I can get it in time because I'm going to be gone a minute. But brothers and sisters, go to Akabin House to get the books that Baba Baruti writes at Akabin House. And like I said, there's a number of things that Baba Baruti is going to be on, and check him out if you get the chance, please. So, the Enye Sesem, a daily revolutionary thought. The Enye. I've missed quite a few. I'm going to go over them when I get back with you, because I know there are some that are, to me, real gems. The quote in itself by whoever Baba Rudy is quoting, and of course, his narrative, you know. So, yeah. June 15th. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of great wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. I say this quote periodically, and the quote now has deep meaning for me. It is Brother Lester Velt Middleton. If you go to YouTube, brothers and sisters, and put in Lester Velt Middleton, a number of interviews he did with our scholars, our historians, the great ones, John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben Ivan von Sermon. I could go on. And when we had our ASCAT conference on Zoom back in March, his wife and Baba gave a great presentation on Lester Velt. He built the house that his wife and the rest of his family live in North Carolina, literally built it. That's why this quote has deep meaning. A great ancestor, Brother Lester Velt Middleton. We sit twiddling our fingers like broken rebels in asylums or elderly homes, drugged and sedated from the moment we wake until our eyelids can no longer fight the night, sitting at dirty windows, staring out into past, awaiting greatness to arrive, resting on the laurels of transitioned genius without sustainable building on its debility. The act, the act of not doing has evident in expending a greater amount of time and energy on proclamations of what was accomplished before the Ma'afa without using that greatness as a stepping stone for leaving our own phenomenal footsteps speaks to the persistent inability to develop and execute a concrete vision which extends our genius beyond what has been done. If we are who we say we are, then we must correct any patterns that events in and embrace internalized weakness. If we are to be remembered as a people who used Sankofa memory to build a powerful, righteous, external reality for ourselves, as a people who labored to construct an honest tradition, grounded future for us all, and yet to come, then we must use all of the knowledge and wisdom of our ancestors have placed at our feet to do so. And we must do it now. I repeat, we must do it now. Affirm, I leave footprints everywhere I build. Affirm, I leave footprints everywhere I build. June 16th. So speak truth, do justice, be kind, and not do evil. Truth travels on a narrow path, but the wicked wander on a wide road. Speak truth, do justice. Do justice and speak truth. For one who is righteous is supported by the divine. Odu Afe. It is not a contradiction to tell someone that you see them as being wise and then yet not give them space to speak. Or is this only a tactical play on reciprocity to gain their attention and favor so they will listen without interrupting you as you talk? It is not a contradiction for someone to say, no disrespect intended, but then use that qualification as a license to disrespect you. It is not a contradiction to trick someone into a mode of serious listening for constructive criticism by saying, with all due respect, then the objective is to give them none, no respect, through phrasing your statement in a disrespectful way. When you hear words like these, hold your guard, warriors, because some will issue some from minds filled with fears of you, power-hungry insecurities, and the general need of those socialized within Yoruba's culture to receive respect without having to give any. Success in manipulating others through unrighteous ploys intend to disarm them in a sign of superiority to most underachievers. So their approach is not accidental. Responsible and respond accordingly. One non-response from the same face, whether obvious or hateful, is enough. No warrior should allow themselves to be not reciprocated twice. Affirm, I travel a narrow path. Affirm, I travel a narrow path. The Inyatsasim of daily revolutionary thought. As you can see, they're always on time. I tell you, I listen and read the Inyatsasim and like, wow. You know, that's beautiful. Saturday is Juneteenth Day. June 19th. I'm going to Milwaukee for some personal things that I have to take care of. And I'm definitely going to attend Juneteenth Day. Milwaukee celebrated its first Juneteenth Day thanks to the good people at the Northcott Neighborhood House. And at that time, Brother Joe Winston and Sister Jan Kemp were ancestors. And then from that particular point, when they transitioned, my good friend, my good brother, who I love dearly, Mac Weddle, Minnie Mac Weddle, MacArthur Weddle, for all those years up until 2 years ago. And I look forward to seeing him. Believe me, I do. And now Northcott is still doing it, and all the many other volunteers. 50 years, 1971, I was a young man, you know. And at that time, too, Juneteenth Day was throughout the night. Yeah, it was the afternoon all the way into the evening. And, fantastic, Juneteenth Day. And attended almost every Juneteenth Day that if I was able to. If I was in the city and Juneteenth Day was happening, I was there. I missed a few. In fact, the first one I missed was because of the fire department. I was on a shift that many of the so-called holidays fell on that shift. And I couldn't trade it like I did later on, years later. So I missed that one. And a few others because I was out of town or something. But Juneteenth Day, you know, was special. But for many years, I've often said about Juneteenth Day, I mean, we ain't should be celebrating them folks getting 2.5 more years of work out of us. That's right. Some of those Caucasians left the other part of the South and went to Texas with their captives and worked us to death some more for 2.5 more years. You know? And I understand the reason to celebrate finally, because that's the final word, supposedly. And that, of course, was not, because there were still people in servitude in the South, even into the 20th century, brothers and sisters, even into the 20th century, you know. And I have a problem. And, you know, to me, the real celebration for our people, for African people, is May 25th, African Liberation Day. That should be a worldwide celebration, African Liberation Day. Let me read a few things that I believe will help put something, you know, give something to some legitimacy to what we're talking about today. The brother who wrote the book, The Sovereign Psyche, Brother Ezra Erahon, said, "There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland." I'm going to repeat that because this is a dynamic quote. I saw this, I was like, whoa, yeah, that's real. There is nothing in the history except us where you were put in captivity and you wanted to integrate with your captors. You wanted your captors to value you and respect you and allow you to participate in their stuff. And you reject the wealth on the continent of Africa that is yours. So you could be an individual. And you can have the creature comforts. And you can have influence with other Caucasians and other Negroes. And you have the scorn. And you scorn the other brothers and sisters who ain't where you is. And you say that America's not racist. You know, America, man, if you get yours, you can get yours. I got mine. Why can't you get yours? I'm doing well. Man, there is no other historical instance of a formerly captive people who valued integrating, who valued wanting to be a part of, who rejected their Africanness, who rejected their names, their religion, their culture, to be a part of what Urugu has established and completely abandon the wealth. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'd rather, you know, and this is real with me. This is one of my mantras. This is one of my mantras. I'd rather live in a world of my own choosing and struggle in that world than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is the European's dream. And to European's dream, to Africans, it is a nightmare. And you know it. For us collectively, I ain't talking about, you know, individualism is a European Caucasian desire. But collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must, it is a need. It is how we have become great. Individualism. They've espoused it and promoted it all the time. I got mine. I can't argue what an individual could do. Because right now, here right now, somebody who, not listening to me, of course. If he is, he ain't hearing me. But they could say, I don't give a damn whatever roadblock, detours, or pitfalls lie in my path. I'm going to overcome them. I'm going to achieve. I can't argue what an individual can do. It has happened many times. Just like that commercial of the Korean or Asian dude. All right, look at me, Yash. I'm on my boat. Look at all the things I got. All these beautiful women, yeah. You buy my book. You too can be here. You buy my book. What an individual could do. I can never argue against that. But I can care less. Because what an individual does is weak and pale in comparison to what we could do collectively. Because you acquired all of this, you live in a gated community, in a subdivision, in a cul-de-sac. You, we're the first black couple here, you know. And my daughter, she's the first black at their school, you know. Or even here in Atlanta, where a subdivision, a cul-de-sac, and a gated community could be all us. All us. And even in that situation, they don't come together and say, you know what? Let us create and build a strip mall within so many miles of our location, where off a main street where our children can have jobs and we can buy from ourselves and each other. Let us do that. Man, let me read this. This is my good brother. He hasn't been out with me for a while. I contacted him. He moved from Milwaukee. Now he's in Phoenix, Arizona. And that's my brother Alfonso Watkins. You know, and he's into child psychology, African psychology. And he's in Phoenix, Arizona now. But this caught me. He wrote two of them on that appeared on Facebook, and they caught me, particularly for what we're talking about today. No peace at war. We, the descendants of human beings that were captured, kidnapped, and enslaved by European empire over 500 years ago, are the only group, the only cultural group on the planet that celebrates the fact or process of being set free from legal, social, or political restrictions, which is the freeing of someone from captivity, emancipation. But the actual and factual reality is this caption, this concept was and is an illusion of inclusion or symbolism without substance. We have accepted being given or placed in another form of captivity. On this planet, in human history, no other people have accepted this exchange with their captors. The invaders of this stolen land called America fought the British for their freedom, their independence and liberation, by which they declared themselves a free people. In 1865 to 2021, we are still asking for human rights, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's what we're doing. We're doing the same thing over. That's the definition of what, brothers and sisters? Exactly. Insanity. And we are insane in Urugu's madness. The same thing over and expecting a different result is insanity. Wake up, African family, and take ownership of our future and destiny. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Wake up. No peace at war. The divine creator, master of the worlds, seen and unseen, has sent us many enlightened men and women to give us insight, wisdom, knowledge, and guidance to help us return to our original state of being. The question for us is, will we be able to take this divine knowledge and move our children and their children into the 21st century. We must start thinking and acting like free and independent people and recognize that using the current cultural socialization process and social construct of knowledge has not and will not produce the type of spiritual human being we need to survive moving forward. These wise and gifted individuals have come through almost every ideology, theology, and philosophy, all with somewhat of the same message. We must return to the knowledge of self. The same message. We must return to knowledge of self. All roads leads us back to the sacred teaching of cultures of Africa. The African sacred sciences, Professor Small, will address our prognosis and diagnosis as it relates to the current self-destructive state of being we are functioning in. We will fail to overstand. What we fail to understand is the European social science understood. If our children learn the truth about our history, it will wake up their ancestral genetic memory and replace the current state of hypnosis with all live and function in, that we all live and function in. And we will be a free and proud and self-determining people. Wake up. Wake up, my people. Wake up. Juneteenth Day. You know, like I said, I know a lot of good events are planned. And like I said, I plan to be in Milwaukee, which they will celebrate 50 years. And that's a milestone. And I'm not, you know, all I'm saying is that we need to have all the things that have happened to us and things that we push and promote, you know, in their proper context. We've been celebrating Juneteenth for much longer than 50 years. Probably celebrating Juneteenth the day started celebrating June 20th, 1865. And there's the place where the proclamation was read on that balcony. They do it every year. Somebody gets on that balcony and they read the proclamation. You know, they do it every year. You know, so national. And I remember the picture in 2009 when State Senator Spencer Coggs, who's now the Secretary of State. State Treasurer, excuse me. And he had consistently put forth a Juneteenth holiday bill, observing the bill, and it was constantly defeated. So finally, they had a Democratic governor, and they pushed it through, and they passed it. And see my good brother Mack Whittle, who I mentioned earlier, and many other the legislators and so forth, Spencer Coggs, over Mack Whittle's right shoulder, you know, signing the bill and claiming Juneteenth Day as a holiday in the state of Wisconsin. And, of course, many other states. I think there's only a handful of states, North and South Dakota, four of them. I think Hawaii is another one that the state does not recognize Juneteenth. And of course, the Senate, the United States Senate, passed making Juneteenth their national holiday. Ron Johnson, who's the state U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, the other U.S. Senator is a Democrat, Tammy Baldwin, and Ron Johnson, who loved Donald Trump and who did some stupid stuff and said some stupid things. And to me, if they don't get rid of him, well, you get what you deserve. And so they passed it in the Senate, but understand this. In order to become law, they got to go through the House. And there are 30 Democratic congresspersons who did not support, there's no Republicans. No Republicans supported the Juneteenth Day bill. None. And so the 30, because see, if they had the 30 Democrats, it wouldn't make any difference about the Republicans. Because there is no part, there is no bipartisanship in this country. It's either this or that. They don't look across the line, the aisle, for support. And of course, they desperately want to get either the House or the Senate or both back in 2022. In 2022, they want to get either or both through the election process. I can't see how they can. But then again, I can. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but the reality is, I see how they can because of the mindset of the people, and particularly the Republican people, but it is so bad. You know? In fact, I seen another piece I saw. They talk about, you know, the Republicans are the ones that are trying to take away voting rights, trying to take away constitutional rights and so forth. And yet, they were the ones who stormed the Capitol. And would have, and if they had guns, they would have used guns. No doubt in my mind. And they want to take away because they said the government is trying to take away your rights or our rights. Sister Tamara Grisby's in that picture. She's an ancestor now. She was a state rep. Good sister. Spencer Cox. My man, Mac Weddle, who was the executive director of Northcott at the time. Reverend Ron Myers. Reverend Ron Myers, of course, is if you can go to nationaljuneteenth.com, nationaljuneteenth.com, and you'll see Reverend Ron Myers, who was giving concerts and so forth, great supporter of the idea of Juneteenth Day. And of course, there are Juneteenth days being celebrated across the country. Then, of course, there's the issue of the flag of Juneteenth, of Ben Haight, H-A-I-T-H, Ben Haight and his son Elijah Haight. He said he's an African American because I heard that somebody said he's Caucasian, and I just can't see. I can't see a Caucasian creating a flag. And, you know, having a supporter, I mean, damn. You know, to me, I honestly, the flag, you know, there's pictures of it on the website. And of course, the military. First, there are some brothers in uniforms. And they are about to raise the flag. And then there's some other brothers and sisters in modern day army uniforms and somebody blowing taps and they're raising the Juneteenth Day flag. And Brother Ron Myers, who's a musician, Reverend Dr. Ron Myers, and he is was the chairperson up until the time that he passed in 2018, National Juneteenth Observance Foundation. And I talked to this sister this morning, Sister Dee Evans. She still is the National Director of Communications, the National Juneteenth Day Observance. And, of course, you can call them at 888-509-6563. That's 888-509-6563. And they have a Uber conference coming up on not this Saturday, because no happenings on this Saturday because everybody's having their Juneteenth Day celebrations, but a conference coming up. And, you know, like I said, you can kind of tell I'm, you know, I have mixed emotions, because, you know, didn't know what I know now. I didn't know then, way back in 71, in decade or two after, because it's 50 years, but in the last, at least 30 years or so, you know, realizing that they got 2.5 more years work out of us. And we celebrate the fact that we have no compensation. We have no restitution. We have no reparations. And I don't see anything as it relates to reparations for us. Now, if you know me and you've heard this program, you know I am a proponent of reparations. Yes, I am. Because not to make this country and the world, because the world, Europe, Arabs, Koreans, China, have been dogging us out. The only way I believe that we will get reparations justly, and I don't promote reparations for individuals. Now, the Tulsa situation is different because they have the documentation to prove what happened to a number of people's property and their lives and their families. They should be made whole. And yet this government, the city of Tulsa, the state of Oklahoma, and the federal government, they were all complicit in making that happen. And yet they're going to talk about some damn statute of limitations. There is no statute of limitations on murder. And these brothers and sisters, the few survivors who are 107 and 106 and 100 years old, if there might be maybe a couple of more, who knows? Deserve something. And the descendants, they destroyed a thriving American African community. They came to Oklahoma through the Trail of Tears with the people, with the indigenous people of the Southeast, particularly Florida, Georgia, and they tracked across all of that land to go to Oklahoma. The first place of settlement for American Africans was Boley, Oklahoma, and there are many cities that were established by American Africans in the state of Oklahoma. We were called the freedmen. And then some of the land that we were given, there was oil on the land. That's how Black Wall Street became rich. That's how they became rich. I'm going to take a break. Let me come back from the break. Before I go, I just want to... Judy Pace. If you don't know who Judy Pace is, I was in love with Judy Pace when I was coming up. The movies she played in, TV programs. I remember when she was married to this one brother who was an actor, but then she divorced him and married Kurt Flood. Kurt Flood played for the St. Louis Cardinals. And Kurt Flood is the reason why baseball players, you know, all of the athletes, a brother, Oscar Robertson in the NBA, challenged the hierarchy, the ownerships of the professional sports league to make it more equitable and fair to players, allowing players to move, allowing players to go for, because back in those days, if you had on, you were on that team, it was almost like, I own you. She stayed with Kurt Flood until he passed. Judy Pace is 79 years old. They have a picture of her. I really would love to see how she really looks at 79. I bet she's still fine. She's still beautiful. She was black. You know what they say. Black don't crack. Judy Pace, happy birthday, my sister. Since it's summertime, we're going to play Coolin' the Gang, Summer Madness, followed by Will Smith's Summertime. This Saturday is the first day of summer. Brothers and sisters, enjoy. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Drums, please.
A bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout, it looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, applied from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin'. Leaning to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Will Smith, Summertime. And of course, Cool in the Gang, Summer Madness. Yep, summertime is happening. That's one thing about Juneteenth Day. It's always, or one could argue Father's Day as well, that the celebration or that acknowledgement was always helping you understand it's summertime now. The summertime has arrived. Yeah. That picture I was explaining when in 09, when the governor, Jim Doyle at the time, of Wisconsin, was signing the proclamation making Juneteenth, and Reverend Ronald Myers was on that. Reverend Ronald Myers is still very active in promoting Juneteenth Day. Number of organizations. He's an MD, a jazz, beautiful man, Christian minister, trumpet and piano, and played in quartets, jazz as well as gospel. And he's a staunch advocate of getting Juneteenth Day. In fact, he has a Juneteenth recording, Free at Last, recorded in 2006, Juneteenth Day song. And good brother, you know. Like I said, you know, I understand the feelings that many people have about being here in America and really wanting this thing to work for us, wanting to share in what was created by Europeans. And of course, what happens is that Europeans are full of tricknology. The Urugu is full of tricknology and making you believe, giving you the illusion of inclusion. You know, that you too are a part of this. That's same thing with the critical race theory piece we did on Monday. They want you to believe that all the things that have happened is now fair for everybody. Many Caucasians and even many of us will argue that those barriers of discrimination, of exclusion, of marginalization, all of those things are over. You as an individual have just as much a right and the ability and opportunity to achieve as anybody else. Because one thing they point to is that people have come to this country, risked shark-infested waters, all kinds of calamities, spent their last money in a lottery, stowaway, whatever, to come to this country. Like I said, the Asian dude, you will buy my book, you know? And they believe we sing America. The fact that America has done what it has done and so evil in doing it, the fact that Europeans have done what they have done and are so evil. I ain't just talking about, because America and Europeans, same thing, same damn thing, same damn people. Whether you're talking about British, whether you're talking about Spanish, whether you're talking about Portuguese, Italians, French, Germans, same damn people. All of them are racist. All of them have bought into the notion. I tried to give you a historical perspective on that on Monday of why they are the way they are from an evolutionary, from a biological perspective of why they are the way they are because of the environment that they're in and why there's nothing, not a damn thing that we can do to change it. We can't change anything. If you want to get on this conversation, brothers, please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you are in the queue, please hit star twice. And we have a number of people there. Hit star twice lets me know that you want to have, you have a comment, a question, or concern as it relates to what we're talking about today. pretty much the same vein of what we were talking about on Monday with critical race theory. Many people want you to forget about Juneteenth. See, that, you know, for us, that'll happen. That may happen because, you know, I don't think it's going to happen with the holiday, just like they do Labor Day, just like they do all the other holidays. I don't think that's going to happen that way. There may be some acknowledgement, just like on a Monday, there's Flag Day, there's Veterans Day. These federal holidays, people working, the post office is closed. But in the private sector, things go on. There are only a few of those Monday holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, a few of those Monday holidays that the country observes. A lot of them, they don't. But if you work for the federal government, you know, you might get off. That may have, but I don't think so, because the House, the Congress, the Democrats have 30 individuals who did not support making Juneteenth Day. And there are no Republican supporters. In the Senate agreed that Juneteenth Day should be a national holiday. And they said everybody in the Senate did it. In fact, one holdout was Senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, who's an idiot, you know. And he said, I'll go ahead and do it too. But what you must analyze and look at, what real benefit, I know the acknowledgement and so forth, but what real benefit will this have for African people? What real benefit will it have for us collectively? Is this just another day to grill, to have some people over, drinking, talking smack? That's all it is. The next day, business as usual. That's like all the other holidays. Everything that is observed, human beings developed it. Human beings created it. Human beings gave it a date and other dynamics to celebrate it and how it should be celebrated. From Christmas, Christmas is not a religious holiday. It is a commercial holiday. Yes, you got Jesus the Christ. Supposedly, he wasn't born on December 25th, and y'all know that. But you go along with it, and of course, you share that with Santa Claus for the children. Got to have Santa Claus for the children. Easter Sunday. And that is, as you know, the foundation of Christianity. That must be real. It must be historical. That Jesus physically was killed, was crucified, nailed to a cross. On Friday. And 3 days. On the third day, he rose. So you got Friday morning. They cleaned him up, wrapped him up, put him in that tomb, put the rock over it and thing like that. That's Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday morning. And that, you know, okay. You know, it ain't 3 days. It ain't 72 hours. You know, but okay, right. But he rose. And that's the foundation of Christianity. Everything about Christianity is the fact that Jesus died and rose for your sins. It is, what do you call it, the bedrock of the foundation of that faith. And it has to be historical. It has to be real. It can't be allegory. It can't be myth. It can't be fake. It's got to be real. But it ain't. And even though there are some of us who look at the religion and want to, as Reverend Klieg did with the Shrine of the Black Madonna and other faith people did, Cone did it, you know, liberation theology, looking at Christianity as a method and a mode for African liberation. Everywhere Christianity is, with the exception of Europeans, the people who have embraced it are impoverished. Rescue me if I'm wrong. Christianity all throughout parts of Africa. Christianity all parts of in the Caribbean, in Central and South America. Christianity. And you have the impoverishment that you see. And there are issues with El Islam as well. There's issues with all the theologies that are out there that our people have embraced. If we want to celebrate something, we need to celebrate our liberation. We need to celebrate Africa becoming a continent for African people. I don't know if you saw on the news in South Africa. I'm not sure of what the region it was. Somebody found some diamonds, or some cat pulled up a big, big rock that looked like it had a huge diamond on it. So I don't know. It could just be quartz. Just be some crystals. You know. But of course, if it's South Africa has led the world in diamonds. They still have diamond mines that Europeans extract diamonds out of, and of course European Jews who dominate and control the diamond industry. Yeah, I said it. I'm tired of these European Jews make you want to, you know, apologize. I'm apologizing. You know, I saw a piece that on Facebook, where they had this beautiful sister. She supposedly was Miss Israel. And they were, you know, obviously applauding that, hailing that, because she is of color. We use that term. No, she African. And they praising her and so forth. And I'm saying to myself, Israel, how do they really treat African people? How have they treated even the people they airlifted out of Ethiopia and other parts into, how do they treat the people who live in Dimona, Israel, who are from the States, the Black Hebrew Israelites? How do they treat Africans? They told Africans, I'm going to give you some money to get the hell out of here. Now, you got a time frame to get this money and get your ass out of here. Now, if you miss this opportunity, I may throw your ass in jail or deport you anyway. So here's an opportunity to just pay you up and get you out of here. We claim it all of Palestinians' land. Palestinians can go to Syria. Palestinians can go to Iraq and Iran and so forth. But just get the hell out of here. Give us a call, brothers. And if you're on the queue, I see you out there. I'm not going to open it up for you. If you want to open up for yourself, hit star twice and let's have some conversation. On Juneteenth Day, this Saturday, and of course, Juneteenth Day began June 19th, 1865. You know, I remember seeing the flag. I never seen the flag personally. But just seeing the flag, the Juneteenth Day flag, you know, Team Day flag. Okay. You know, it has the star, the Texas Star. It has the Texas Star. Let me try to see if I can find the information about the flag. But there's the Texas Star, just like they have on the star of the flag of the state of Texas on their flag. The Texas Star, and then like a aura or a corona. A corona, you know, like it's bursting. And I think the line was it's bursting towards freedom or something like that. It's blue at the top, red at the bottom, and of course the star and the corona is white. The red, white, and blue in keeping with that bull, you know. I'm inclined to say there's one flag for us. And that flag is universal. And that flag should be flown everywhere where African people are. And that is the red, black, and green. Our flag. It should be flown everywhere we are. If we have a territory and they've had a flag, we'll honor that. But the flag that flies on top of that should be the red, black, and green should fly on top of everything that is ours. That is ours. And we should honor and respect that. Brothers and sisters, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is about us. It is about independence for us. It is about self-determination for us. It is about liberation for us. It is about sovereignty for us. I got a call. 919. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. I was just listening, but I appreciate your show, Baba Kamau.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
So I've been listening probably for maybe a couple of months.
Yes.
My name is Brother Kwesi.
Brother who?
Brother Kwesi,
thank you so much. I'm calling from Raleigh. Appreciate it very much. Hope you continue to do so. And sometimes call in and let's engage in dialogue, man.
Yes, sir. So, but I appreciate the conversation because, you know, this critical race theory thing is really insane, man. Because it's just like me and my wife were having a conversation. I said, it's almost like an abusive relationship with somebody gets you outside the head and beat you.
Yes.
But they don't want you to talk about it. They don't want you to tell nobody.
Right.
So
it is.
What we got to do, we got to change our mind and stop trying to change their mind.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's what I think.
No, you're on point because leave them. They are who they are. And ain't a damn thing we can do about it. It is us. We have to purge ourselves of this ignorance and stupidity and arrogance, all this stuff that Urugu, the European, the Caucasian has put into us to make us hate ourselves and to hate each other. We got to get out of that, get rid of it, and then put into us the love of self, the knowledge of self. That's makes
100%,
us,
bro. That's,
yes, it is.
That's on point, what I'm saying. That's 100% right.
Right on. I appreciate it, my brother.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself.
All right. Continue to listen. I just put you on hold.
Bibi Fahodiye.
We will be victorious, brother. Believe me, we will. Bibi Fahodiye. I'm going to put you on hold. And if you want to comment on something else, since we got some minutes, we got 20 minutes, you can hit star twice and you can get in. You know, we got to. I think there's a good segment of our people who understand that. But unfortunately, there's a mass of our people, you know, who believe that this is just as much ours as it is theirs. Even though, from a statistical standpoint, everything is bad for us here. More of us incarcerated, more of us unemployed, more of us uneducated. I mean, the list goes on. The police killings, more of us in a percentage standpoint. Now, the police kill people every day. There's no place in the world where police kill people consistently and constantly in the world. You know? They kill people every day. All around this planet, they're killing people in the world. I mean, there are countries where they hardly have any police shootings. Obviously, some of those countries are more homogeneous. That means that all of the people are pretty much the same. They're the same people. See, here, they want to tout this human experiment of all these people coming together. Now, that would be cool if everybody came equally. Everybody came with a shared understanding and a respect for who you were equally. That is not the case. It is not the case, never will be the case. And the bottom line to what Caucasians bring and do is the fact that they are want to control. They want to dominate and control. They never came to share. That's not in them. That is not who they are. They don't share. No. We dominate and control. That's who we are. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Alfonso Watkins put some good stuff out there that I read today. From Facebook. I really appreciate it. Going to get him on. I talked to him. He's, like I said, he left Milwaukee. Now he's in hot-ass Arizona. It's hot there. Well, of course, it's not very humid there, but it's hot. You know, 103 degrees, 104 degrees. It's hot, you know. Told my brother to stay cool. But I'm looking forward to having him on the program. In fact, when we started Motherland Media, he was one of the people who helped start it. And me and him, he and I, whatever the proper verbiage is, we were doing a radio program on Fridays on a gospel station. You know, a few times that we put some money up to do it and broadcast on there. We bounced back and forth. So we've done this before, and I look forward to doing it again with my brother. Another brother from Milwaukee puts out some good information is Brother Tony Muhammad. And he put this out concerning the bill that I just mentioned to you. Let me read this so you can get a good understanding. You know, I know Sheila Jackson Lee. She's the one who's really pushing it. As I stated, I saw her in Tulsa on a panel dealing with reparations, you know. And I don't know, because it's with the way the mentality is in this country, please. And see, I don't put forth reparations for individuals. Now, granted, there's some people who have suffered tremendously and who have suffered deeply in abject poverty for generations. And just like the descendants of Tulsa need, you know, they need to be compensated in some form or fashion, particularly, you know, with a nice little piece of chunk of change and so forth. Yeah, I understand that. But I'm not for reparations where we get money. I'm for reparations to repair us, to build institutions that will help us. That's where I see reparations. I see reparations on the continent, because reparations should be given to us by European countries, Germany, England, especially them son of a bitches, England, France, definitely, who still hold many colonies in Africa. The United Snakes, one of the evilest systems in terms of what it has done to us. I'm into repair. That's what the reparations should be. So when we have a Juneteenth day, just don't celebrate the fact that these crackers got 2.5 more years of work out of us and somebody came down with a damn piece of paper and said, y'all's free. Y'all's free. Now go. Go celebrate your freedom. Because we lynching your ass tomorrow. Go celebrate your freedom because we are subjugating you to all kinds of hell, segregation, lack of education, mass incarceration. Go, yeah, celebrate your freedom. First, the H.R. 40 bill is not a U.S. Black or African, American African, as I use the word, I'm like black, as you know. It's not an American African reparations bill. The title of this article is misleading and misinforms the reader. Secondly, the U.S. two-party system is a tricky system, and it is designed overall to keep the U.S. might and political power in the hands of those who created it, Europeans, Caucasians, whites. They're in ensuring that the U.S. will always be ruled by European people. Will always be ruled by European people.
And why shouldn't they?
I hear you, Jay. Hold on. The legislation has 189 co-signers, all of them Democrats, most of them liberals, setting up what could be a divisive showdown between centrists and progressives at a time when leadership is fighting to hold the party together for the sake of passing Biden's ambitious agenda. Wherein the Dems are the majority party in the House, but only 189 co-sponsors have signed on the dotted line of the H.R. 40 bill or whatever. Let's do the math. 219 Democrats in the House and only 189 signed. That's 30. That means 30 House Democrats have political or perhaps personal issues why they have not co-sponsored the H.R. 40 bill. Who are these 30 Democrats that haven't yet to co-sponsor the bill? I can know that too. Let me get my man Jay in here. Jay, good afternoon. Listen, Jay, I understand what you're saying. Hold on. Let me understand what you're saying about why not. See, the thing is this. They say that's not who they are. This is America. You know, America is full of opportunity for you and for me and for all. You know, America is the greatest example of democracy in the world, the greatest example of people getting along and everybody having their right to determine who they are and so forth and so on and all that bullshit. That's why I'm saying.
Hey, Oshi, you know something, brother?
What, Jay?
I wish at some point in time, black people will realize and begin to realize that the white man ain't got to do shit for your black ass. That's our problem. We think that the white man owe us something and that the white man had to do something for us. No, brother, he don't. And let me tell you why he don't. Because you are at war with the white man. You are the enemy of the white man and you are captured by the white man and that Geneva Convention and all that other bull sugar honey iced tea is nonsense. When you capture a soldier or enemy combatant, what you're supposed to do is kill him. See, we are under this impression that because we are no longer enslaved physically, that we are not enslaved mentally and programmed to be a slave. So until we start to realize that, we just gonna keep on going back and forwards with this white man about how he's supposed to treat us humanely. And it ain't his effing job to treat you humanely. You his enemy. And until we realize that, we just gonna keep on going back and forwards, sucking on his tit, looking for him to treat us like a human being. And that ain't the reality, brother. And the white man is your perpetual enemy, and his objection is to control you.
Right, and so
objective is to keep you under his thumb so that you will never do what you're supposed to do, which is to kill his white ass.
And see, what happens is this, Jay, what happens is this, is that they manipulate. It's all about the mind. They continue to make you think. And make you believe that you too are part of it. So I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. Look what all the great things I've done for you. You know?
Well, if you feel
I've given you jobs.
Let's just deal with it this way, O. If you feel that way, then your black ass deserve whatever you do to you. And that's just plain and simple. You know, I get tired of black people talking about we got to get along to get along. To go along, to do all of these things necessary to do what? How are you moving forward as a people? Individually, you moving forward, but not as a people. Listen, as long as you keep on thinking that the white man could be your friend and your ally, you gonna keep on getting effed over.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. So now they decided that they're going to give you a so-called holiday called Juneteenth. I give less than an F about the Juneteenth. That ain't going to make my life no better. That ain't going to break the slavery chains off of my people's mind. All that's going to do is give you some form of passivity and happiness that the bastard done gave you something. That's all it's going to do. I'll never make you feel good. You remember how Halle Berry told that cracker, white man, make me feel good. Mm-hmm. That's what the Negro is all about. Making him feel good.
She won an Academy Award for that.
Oh, yeah. Now, think about it. Why wouldn't they give basically a Bedouin whore an Academy Award for something that portrays you as a sick, suffering black woman? Why would they? They would never give, you know, Cicely Tyson an Academy Award for what she deserved for her portrayal as Jane Pittman or in Sounder, where it was a legitimate Academy Award performance. Look, man, we got to stop this thing of playing with white folks and accepting the trinkets that white folks give us and think that it's progress. Because I'm sorry to say it, O, and you know I love you, brother. You know you are my brother.
Right on.
It ain't good for us no more. What's going on in this country and the direction that this country is going for, as I would say, ADOS or B1 or whatever they want to call it, it ain't good for us, man. We're not progressing as a people. We're not moving forward as a people. And those protections that we assume that we have, they're taking it away from us and manipulating us to believe that there's nothing that could be done. But what they'll never say is, it's just white people being white people.
Yeah.
It's white people protecting what's their interest, which is whiteness.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say I ain't mad at them, because it's what they supposed to do. And what I'm supposed to do is use the South African burning next time every chance that I get. That's what I'm supposed to do. Because the bottom line is, white men and white women like Manchin and Shinnessy, They show you every chance they get how they're your enemy, but they want to say that the other white woman, Marjorie Greene, the cuckoo bird, is the enemy, a.k.a. like Sarah Palin was. Now, remember, Sarah Palin became rich, and then when they had no more use for a cuckoo ass, what did they do?
Kick it to the curb.
You don't even hear about Sarah Palin no more. She's a non-effing factor, as one would say. But see, the reality is, we're never going to be honest and say that one of the most dangerous white men and white women for our existence in this country is Manchin and Shinnity. They'll never put the pressure on them two devils.
Joe Manchin and who?
And what do Manchin and Shinnency do? They just toy with people. They just toy with us. They use us, abuse us, manipulate us, and do wonders. I take my hat off to both of them devils.
Let me say this, Jay.
They know what they're supposed to do as white folks, I ain't mad at them.
Yeah, we only have a few minutes, and I understand what you're saying. And I go back to constantly saying that, you know, because of their manipulation, because of their undermining, because of the control that they have over mass media, over all the other institutions in this country, because they run it, you know, but they make us think that somehow, some way, that we too are part of it, that we too, you know, can run it. And that's the part that I hate. And that's the part that I try to help our people understand, is that you are being tricked. You are being fooled. You are being, as Malcolm said, bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray. You know? Because this society was created by Europeans, not has some experiment of multiculturalism or integration. They don't want none of that.
Yeah.
So I go to Galveston, Texas, and I read from a balcony of a building that is still there, that come this Saturday, they're going to do the same damn thing, because it's symbolism without substance. And that's the part that really bothers me, that we get hung up on this damn symbolism, that I'll read from that balcony that yous is free, y'all's is free. And now you go out and you party and stuff, but yet, all of the social ills in this country are more profound in you than anybody else. Even the coronavirus is impacting you more than anybody else. You are massively incarcerated.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen.
Yeah, you
teach. But, you know, in all actuality, we got to wake up, bro.
Yeah.
Seriously. We got to realize that the white man is our enemy. He's always going to be our enemy. And that he has to do whatever he has to do for his survival. Until you get to the point that you don't want to assist them in his survival, and you want to assist African people in their survival, we're going to just constantly be in this situation. Yeah. And you're going to come on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and keep on trying to educate the deaf, dumb, and blind. And eventually, me and you will die.
Yeah.
And eventually, at some point in time, because of circumstances and the way things are, hopefully our people on the continent will wake up and behave like China did when they shut Sugar Honey IT down, got their business in order, and look at them today.
Exactly.
A world power.
Exactly.
That's the only way our people are ever going to survive, and hopefully we'll be up in the pearly skies or whatever, in the bottom of the pit, still raising hell, motivating our people to liberate ourselves to some quarter
liable. Let me say this.
Of freedom.
Let me say this, Jay. That is my wish. You know, it is real. That before I expire, before I transition to, you know, to elders, I mean, excuse me, to passing, to the realm, you know, I want to see at least movement in that direction, a more concentrated mass movement in that direction, for us to be self-determining, to be liberated, to be, I want to see that. I want to see it on the continent. with the impetus to making it happen through the Pan-African Federalist Movement or any other movement. That had to be that. It could be any other movement that says that on the continent, because that's the key. The key for us, Jay, it ain't here. That's for damn sure. The key for us is the continent. Is the continent moving towards self-determination? Is the continent moving towards sovereignty? Are they kicking out or maybe make a real deal with the Chinese? We recognize what happened to you during all the occupation of the British and all those things that happened to China, the imposition of the Japanese on China, all the things. And we recognize what Mao Zedong did and kicking everybody's ass out, getting rid of all those so-called lawyers and so forth, killing their ass, you know, and then isolating themselves for a period of time so they could come back strong. If y'all recognize, if we recognize that in y'all, we want that too. If you really want to be a partner, if we really want to be a partner with us in Africa, that's what we want to move to. We'll kick out the Arabs. We'll kick out the Europeans. We're showing the hell to kick out all those bases that the United States government has. You know, this is a tough thing. Oh man, my time is up, Jay. I gotta go. Appreciate you, man. You know,
I appreciate you, brother, for being an African. That's what I appreciate you for standing up, being an African, and trying to lead us to an African
reality,
glorious future.
That's right.
Hotep, brother.
Hotep, Jay. Thank you. Have a good weekend, man. Brothers and sisters, you have a good rest of the week and a good weekend. Keep the perspective of what Juneteenth is. Understand what it is and what it isn't. And for those men who are fathers, or you want to acknowledge your father, Happy Father's Day. We can do that all the time. And all the other stuff. And, you know, I'll be back probably in another week. So until that time, brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people, you saw this on, it was on the news in South Africa. Some people found some diamonds I don't know where in South Africa. There was literally tens of thousands of people just digging in a spot, hoping that they can get a diamond or two to get them out of the poverty that they're in and all of the riches that are in that country, and see how Caucasians in South Africa and how they live. It's a damn shame, y'all. Africa is the richest continent with the poorest people. The African mind, the M-I-N-E, under the feet of African people, has all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Great time the rest of this week and a good weekend, and be safe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.